wonderful. Matthew chapter 15 in your Bible this morning. If you'll find that's the first book in the New Testament, is the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to read verses 21 through 28. To me, one of the most tender, great stories in all the Word of God. Not a parable, an actual account of an event that took place during the life of Jesus Christ on earth. And what a story. It's only about 9 verses long, verses 21 through 28, 7 or 8 verses long. I'd like for us to just read it all this morning because it's not that long, and we'll have time to get the message in. So let's stand together, please. And if you'd join me on the even-numbered verses down through here. And this is a tremendous, tremendous story, and I want the Lord to speak to our hearts from it today. I'll begin in verse 21, all right? And the Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Father, thank you for this wonderful story. Thank you for recording it for us so that we might be blessed from it. And not just blessed from it, but helped and encouraged and taught and challenged. And would you please take this wonderful event that happened a little over 2,000 years ago now, and it's been recorded for us. Would you use it today relative to people's needs in our church? God, help us. Speak to us. I pray that you'll use your book this morning in our midst. We'll thank you. In Christ's name we ask it, and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Join the ransomed choir on heaven's bright shore forever to praise the King. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him, and my voice will never tire or grow old, and my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me, and I'll sing it while ages shall roll. When a million years have passed in that wonderful place, my song of praise will just have begun. For my joy will never end while I look on His face, and my song will never be done. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him, and my voice will never tire or grow old. And my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me, and I'll sing it while ages shall roll. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him, and my voice will never tire or grow old. And my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me, and I'll sing it while ages shall roll. And I'll sing it while ages shall roll.
Thank you, Brother Dave. That was a good song. I hadn't heard that in a long time. That was a good song, well sung. You know, when we get that glorified body, get to heaven, everything's going to be fixed about us. Everything. Including, you'll have a voice that you can sing with. Amen. It's best that some people don't sing in the choir, you know. And over the years, we've had to remove a couple folks. Amen. You know, just this is not your calling, brother, whether you knew it or not. All right. But when we get to heaven, we're all going to have a voice that we can sing with. Amen. And that's why you ought to enjoy singing now, because you're going to do it up there. So you might as well get used to it here. So that is wonderful. All right. This lady said in verse number 27, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." So my question, my title of the message this morning is a question. Do you need a crumb? Do you need a crumb? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this great story. How my heart just is so blessed every time I read it. So I pray that you'll please help us this morning, and may the truth of your word do a good work in our hearts. Thank you for every person here, Lord. You know the need of every heart in this room. No one else can, we can't say that about anybody else. Nobody else knows the needs of everybody in this room, but you do. Would you please, through your Spirit and your word, serve those needs this morning? Would you minister to those? And I'll be thankful for it. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. There are no unimportant verses in the Bible. So do not dismiss verse number 21 as just a space filler in your Bible. Where the Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon." That might seem like an insignificant verse, but it's not. Tyre and Sidon were coastal cities located along the Mediterranean Sea. They were at the extreme north end of the area that Jesus traveled when he was on the earth. You understand that he was only here for 33 and a half years, and he was only involved in a public ministry for 3.5 years. And he only traveled really a very small geographical area. And so Tyre and Sidon are on the very northern end, as far north as he went in his public ministry. That's what was to Tyre and Sidon. Now, we find that when he got there, he entered into a house. You don't find that in this gospel, but you find that in the same story in the Gospel of Mark. And when he entered into the house, he wanted no one to know that he was there. But Mark's gospel simply says, "But he could not be hid." I like that. How do you hide the light of the world? How do you hide the bread of life? How do you hide the living water? How do you hide the lily of the valley? How can you hide the bright and morning star? You can't hide any of the... And so Jesus could not be hidden. He was not hidden long, because shortly a woman came to him. And we have the story of this woman in verses 22 through verses number 28. Now, there are two times during the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth that he remarked that somebody had great faith. Two times. And neither one of those was about a Jew. One time was the Roman centurion whose servant was sick. And he came to Jesus on behalf of his servant. And he said, "Would you just speak a word?" And Jesus said, "Where do you live?" And he said, "No, you don't have to come to my house, and you're a man under authority." And Jesus remarked about that centurion, "I've not found so great faith in all of Israel." That's one time. The other time is this time right here. This woman whose daughter was demon-possessed, and he said in verse number 28, "O woman, great is thy faith." Now, folks, I would suggest to us that if there are only two times in the public ministry of Jesus when he stopped and remarked about somebody's faith being great, there's probably something for us to learn from that. Only two times. And so we're going to look a little bit at this story this morning and talk about this event that took place a little over 2,000 years ago. I want you to see, first of all, I want you to see this morning the woman searching. the woman searching. Look at verse number 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now, folks, do you see? We see right here in verse number 22 why Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon. He didn't go there just to fill up his day with something to do. He went there because a woman was searching for help. A woman was searching for answers. A woman was searching for comfort. And I want you to notice that this woman came out of, the Bible says, the same coasts. In other words, she lived right there. That's why Jesus went there. She was desperate. She was longing. She was in need. And Jesus went to her. He went close enough to her so that she could get to Him. I'm glad that's how our Savior is. I'm glad we have a Savior like that. Whatever your need is this morning, if you will just look close by, you will find that Jesus is somewhere nearby ready to help. This woman had a daughter. Now, you parents, let's talk about that for just a moment. If you're grievously sick, it's better than your child being grievously sick. Right? Any ailment, any infirmity, any sickness, any trouble, any disease that any of your children have or had, you would gladly take that on yourself rather than watch your children go through. So she's vexed. I mean, her soul is in need. She's longing, she's searching, and that's the reason why Jesus went there. Now, someone might think, well, you know, that is good for people who have gone to church all their life. They've been real religious all their life. But you know what? I don't have a very good record of attending church. And I've not been real faithful to any kind of church. I've not been a person of the Bible. And Jesus probably would not be close enough to help me. Can I show you something that I think will help you this morning? I want you to see in verse number 22 that the Bible says that she was a woman of Canaan. She was a woman of Canaan. Now, you know what that means? That means that this lady was from a nationality of people that was considered the worst of the worst. The Canaanites. Never spoken positively about. The Canaanites. And that's what this woman was. She was a woman of Canaan. So she had no merit nationally. She had no merit religiously for Jesus to help her. But can I tell you this morning, you don't have to. In fact, the truth of the matter is, friend, you can't merit help from Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you why she got help. Because she had a burden. She had a need. She was looking. She was in need of something. She was seeking. She was sincere. She wanted something. She had a broken heart carrying a heavy burden. And brother, those are the people Jesus gets close enough to help. Those are the people. Let's be honest. Let's not try to pull punches this morning. If we were to say what nationality or group of people, as far as Americans are concerned, are a group that maybe we disdain, and I hate to say that, but let's be honest. That would probably be the Muslims. I have a hard time having any compassion for the Muslims. And particularly those from Iran. Let's just be honest. Let's take the polish off this morning. Let's be honest. You know, somebody got in trouble because he said he gets nervous when he sees a Muslim come on a plane. I've been saying that for years. I don't get nervous. I get real carefully. I get real watching that sucker. Yes, sir. So you're profiling. You got it. We have a missionary we support named Mark Bachman who was in Germany for years as a missionary. He's training now to do something different over in Turkey. But when Mark Bachman was over in Germany, it was very difficult to reach the German nationals with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there was an Iranian refugee camp not far from where Mark served. And some of those Iranian refugees started getting saved. In fact, bunches of them started getting saved and baptized. There were so many that they had to have a separate service to try to get the German nationals in. They had a separate service for the Iranian refugees who were getting saved and wanted to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was just an unbelievable production of fruit amongst those people. Now, Mark Bachman went one day, and sometimes they would not be long in those refugee camps. They would go back to Iran if the situation got better for them, so forth. But anyway, he and his son, I think Marcus, were out visiting one day in a high-rise not far from where he served. It was one of those high-rises, you know, 7 or 8 floors of apartment buildings, and that was an old, drab, dreary, cold day. So they went up to the very top apartment, and they began to knock every door. And it was one of those days where they didn't get in any door. And they knocked the 7th floor and the 6th floor and the 5th floor and the 4th floor and the 3rd floor and the 2nd floor. And they got down to the bottom floor and they got to the next to last apartment building. They knocked on that door. An Iranian man opened the door. If you know anything about people from the Middle East, they are very hospitable. And so right away, he didn't even ask who they were. He just said, come in, come in. You know, Mark and his son were well-dressed. They were out representing the church, doing visiting for the Lord. And so they're well-dressed. And so he said, come in, come in. As you put them in his broken English, put them in the living room and asked them to sit down on the little couch there. And left. And they didn't know what was going on. He went to the kitchen. And pretty soon, he came back with a tray of some hot tea and some little cups that he put there. Then he left again and was gone for a few minutes. Then he came back again, if I remember the story correctly, with another tray, you know, with some pastries and some type of cakes and things that either he had purchased or somebody had made. And he put those things on the table. And he encouraged Mark and Marcus to eat. Well, they didn't want to offend him, so they got the tea. They got the little cups. They put the tea in the cups, and they got a pastry. And they began to eat, and they began just to visit with the man for a little while. And the man, after a few minutes, began to speak to Mark. And he said, I am from Iran. I have been here for so long, he said, before I left Iran to come to this camp. I had a friend who had been at this camp and had come home to Iran and found out that I was going to this camp, to Germany. And he gave me an envelope with a piece of paper in it, and he asked me to look up, it has a name on it, and he asked me to find the man whose name was on that envelope. If I could find the man whose name was on that envelope, he could tell me about Jesus Christ. Mark said, do you have that envelope? He said, yes, I do. He pulled it out of his pocket and he handed the envelope to Mark Bachman. And Mark opened the envelope, pulled the piece of paper out, and read the name Mark Bachman. Mark Bachman was able to lead that man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you, that's exactly what I'm talking about this morning. You say, you know, here I am in a church service. The truth of the matter is, I have a burden. I have a broken heart. I have a great need. But you know what? I haven't been much for church, and I haven't been much in my Bible, and I hadn't been much, you know, a person of prayer. But my heart's just broken, and I need some help, and I need some kind of encouragement. I don't know if I'm good enough or if I fit the stereotype of the person that can get help. Brother, there is no stereotype, none whatsoever. And Jesus Christ goes close enough to everybody to be the help that they need. That's why he went to Tyre and Sidon. Because this woman needed help. She was a woman of Canaan. It didn't bother Jesus. He went to where she was. So you got the woman searching here in verse number 22. Now I want to show you something this morning in verses 23 and 24. And a little bit the verses following that. The second thing I want to point out to us this morning is the Savior sifting. The woman searching, the Savior sifting. Well, look at verse number 23. She has presented her request. Lord, would you help me? My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, this is interesting to me. I don't know if it's interesting to you or not. Jesus goes there for the purpose of getting close enough to help this woman put himself in a place where she can get to him. And when she comes to him, he then responds to her like he did. His first response was silence. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Silence is not just rejection. It is the worst kind of rejection. Jesus, the Bible says, answered her not a word. He didn't say, how old is she? He did on another occasion. A man came to him with a son who was devil-possessed. And he said, Lord, my son is devil-possessed. Sometimes the devil throws him in the water and tries to drown him. Sometimes the devil throws him in the fire and tries to burn him. And Jesus had a question. How long has this been like that? How long has your boy been like that? Since he was born. But this time he didn't ask her how old she was. He didn't say, what's her name? He didn't say, I'm sorry. Mark's gospel says that Jesus was in a house when this woman came to him. So maybe Jesus is at the table eating, because later on he's going to talk about bread. And maybe he's at the table eating and he absolutely ignored her. Does that strike you as odd? If he went there to help her, if he went there to get close enough to help her, when she came for help, why would he ignore her? So she turns to the disciples. Look at verse 23. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Well, the disciples think that she wants them to help her. And their response is, Jesus, this woman is driving us nuts. Please send her away. Hey, folks, she is not wanting them to help her. She is wanting them to get him to help her. They didn't see it. So then Jesus answers the disciples in her hearing. Look at verse number 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What? I can only help the Jews. Now what a blow to this woman that must have been, because she was not a Jew. So she was locked out of all the help that Jesus could give her because she was not a Jew. Why would Jesus respond in this manner? Do you think it might be because he was sifting? You say, Pastor, what do you mean sifting? People, do you realize how many people in the Bible followed Jesus out of curiosity? It was like he was a novelty. It was kind of like they woke up in the morning and said, well, let's go follow Jesus today. Maybe he'll heal a blind man. Maybe he'll make a deaf man hear. Maybe he'll make a lame man walk. Wonder what Jesus will do today. Let's go follow him. You with me? Understand what I'm saying? It's curiosity. Like Jesus was a novelty. Or because they knew that he would, the Pharisees would try to trip him up in his words, and Jesus would always have an answer that would dumbfound the Pharisees, and they loved to see the Pharisees dumbfounded. Or maybe they thought that he'll feed us today, like he did the other day. We got a free meal. Now, don't look down your nose at these people. When I was in Iowa, as assistant pastor, bus director, used to go up to Iowa City, Brother Maxwell, to visit up there. And I forget what the name of that big old store was that had all that food. But, I'd take Ben with me visiting on the bus route. And at noon, we'd go over to the grocery store. And Saturday was their sample day. And we'd eat for free. Now don't laugh at me. You know you do the same thing, some of you. We'd walk through that store, and this lady would say, would you like something? Oh, sure, And then you go to the next person, and you're like, you act surprised, like they would ask you. But you went there on purpose because you knew they were going to ask you for a sample. That was great, man. I got appetizer, got entree, got vegetable, got bread, got dessert, got the whole thing. Didn't cost me a dime. A few toothpicks to use for the when I got done. So that's what we used to do. And that's what they did. They followed Jesus. The Bible, even Jesus said, he said, some of the people follow me for the bread and the fishes. Look, there were a lot of people who were following Jesus Christ, and they were just following out of curiosity or for selfish reasons. Jesus, I believe, was sifting to see if this woman was sincere. Do you remember Jacob's well in Samaria? Remember that woman who was by that well there? And Jesus began talking to her about the water that was living water. And if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. And she said, oh, Lord, I'd like to have some of that water. Give me a drink of that. She thought, I'll never have to come to this well again. I'll never have to bring my bucket. I'll never have to work. She thought he was talking about physical water. She thought, I will never have to come down here and slave again to get water. Give me this water. And Jesus said, sure, well, I bet your husband would like to have some too. Why don't you go bring him? That's when she said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. You've had five, and the one you're living with now, you're not married to. All of a sudden, she got real serious. And she got a drink of living water, and she went away saved and a changed woman. She was at first not seeking sincerely. Now look, Jesus is ready, and Jesus is willing, and Jesus is longing to help people who sincerely want help. You know, people have said to me over the years, run into folks who are having a difficult time, they have a burden, a broken heart, they have a need, some big problem going on in their life, and you say, Pastor, you know what, we're going through this hard time, and I thought I would just try Jesus. You don't try Jesus. You can't try Jesus. And treat Him like a crutch. He's the Savior of all mankind. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He is God the Son and the Son of God. You don't try Jesus. You don't come to Him and just use Him like a novelty for a while or just out of some curiosity. But if you have a need and you are sincere about having that need met, Jesus is the one to come to. Yeah, yeah. Saved people sometimes even treat Jesus like He's an EMT. Emergency medical technician. Never talk to Him, never praise His name, never recognize His hand of goodness day in and day out for weeks on end. Then something happens. All of a sudden we start ringing the phone. Hey, I need you. Like an emergency medical technician. Friend, you don't try Jesus. You come to Jesus with a sincere heart. This woman exhibits her sincerity. After Jesus tells her, I can only do things for the Jewish people. Look what she did in verse number 25. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, these next three words just make me weep almost every time I read them. Lord, help me. Boy, do you get the earnestness in that? Would you help me? And the Bible says she worshiped. And the word gives the meaning of kneeling or lying prostrate on the floor before royalty. You know what she was? She was humble. And when people get really desperate, they will not let anything prevent them from asking Jesus for help. They don't care what their friends think. They don't care what others might say about them. What people around you, it doesn't matter. When somebody is desperate and sincere and humble and really wants help and Jesus is nearby, nothing stops a sincere, humble person from getting to Jesus. I remember the night I got saved back in 1975. I remember the night I got saved sitting where John McAdoo is sitting this morning, about three rows back on the aisle seat of that little church down in Graysville, Tennessee. And I remember, friend, it was like on that Wednesday night, it was like I lost all consciousness of everybody in that room. There were people sitting down the pew from me. There were people sitting in front of me. There were people sitting behind me. And I want to tell you something. I had a burden. I had a need. I was under conviction. The Spirit of God was working on my heart. I was in search of something. I was humbled. I was ready to be helped. For the first time in my life, all pride was stripped away. And I knew I needed something. And I want to tell you something. It became like I was the only person in that room when that preacher gave that invitation. I shot out of that pew and I got help. And I'll tell you something. You don't have to be a church person. You don't have to be a Bible person. You don't have to be a prayer person. All you got to be is sincere. Just sincere. Now, the sifting continues. So she, listen, she's either kneeling or she's laying on her face and got this plea, Lord, help me. By the way, you say, I don't even know what to pray sometimes. It's not the words that formed on your tongue and lips. It's what comes out of your heart.
Look what he said in verse 26. That she is kneeling. Or she's on her face. And he continues this sifting. He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Whoa. At first he said, I can only help the Jews. And now he refers to this lady as a dog. Because that's what the Gentiles were considered by the Jews. And he said, I can't take, watch me now, the kids' bread and give it to dogs. Whoa. Okay, maybe she wasn't a Jew, but a dog? But that's what the Gentiles were known as. But I want to show you something here, friend. That really boggles my mind. She was not offended. She was not taken back. She didn't respond in a, that's the way. She didn't get her hackles up. She didn't get offended. Look, do you know what? You cannot offend a sincere, desperate, needy person. You can't offend them. They want help. If somebody's heart is broken, they come to the place where they just want some balm. They want some healing for that heart. And it doesn't matter what you call me or how you talk to me. The thing that matters most to me is that I get help. You know, hey, it's where men are notorious for not wanting to go to the doctor. Yeah. We don't want to go to the doctor. We know when we're sick and when we're not. I don't need to go down there and be seen for 2 minutes to be told that I'm sick and then give him $75 to tell me something I already knew. But I want to tell you something. When you get where you need help, you know, when my abdominal area, I was going to use another word, but I won't use the word guts. I'm sorry, anyway, but when my abdominal area was hurting and it got to be about 26 hours worth of pain and it was not getting any better, my wife said to me, look, you're worse than you were yesterday. You're not getting any better. And I was doing the things that previously had helped. And now, you know, when I get to the hospital down there and I'm almost, you know, like this and I can't stand up straight, and Nada Velez is working there. And she goes, Pastor, you don't look good. Thank you very much. All right. And there you're stretched out on that table. And that guy comes in and says, I'm sorry, sir, but your appendix is about to... He said, your appendix is ruptured. Thank God it hadn't. We're going to have to take it out. You think I got offended? Absolutely not. I'll wear the gown. I'll put the bracelets on. Give me this. Give me that. Give me the IV, whatever I need. What do you need? To sign over my children to you, and you want my possessions, and I don't care. Whatever you want, just knock me out. Well, we have to have your kids, your wife. You're not going to have my wife, but you can have my kids, all right? That's... And you can have my hunting gear. You can have take the cars and well, you need to sign this. That's fine. I'll sign 10, 25 of them. What do you need me to do? Just you get to that point, right? Nothing offends you because you want help. And that's what happened with this lady. She's so desperate. Her heart is so broken. She's so heavy. She wants something so bad. Jesus first told her, "I can't help you because you're a Gentile." Called her and said, I'm only sent to the Jews. And then he said, I can't help you because I can't take what's made for the kids and give it to the dogs. It doesn't matter. It doesn't offend her. So after Jesus says, I can't take the kids' bread and give it to you, look at what she says in verse number 27. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Jesus said, I can't give you the kids' bread. She said, Lord, truth, I don't need a loaf. I don't need even a slice. All I need from you is a crumb. That's all. It's not the size that matters. It's the source. It's not how much, but who gives it. All I need is a crumb. If it comes from your table, a crumb will take care of everything. But if she didn't leave in a huff, called me a dog. I'll never go back to that. See him again. No, sir. She said, Lord, you're right, but dogs don't eat. Dogs aren't given the loaf of bread off the table. Dogs aren't even given a slice. Oh, once in a while, people have dogs they treat kind of nice. I bought a gun one time from a fella in Missouri, and he had to send it over here to this. He couldn't just give it to me. He had to go through all the paperwork, and so he sent it over here through this gun shop over here in Bradley. So he called me over here from Bradley one day. He said, I got your gun here and got the paperwork. So I went over there and I walked down between these houses, and there's this fenced-in area, and this dog, the only thing between me getting to that garage safely and him having me for lunch was that chain-link fence. That dog was vicious. They're snarling, not just barking. There's a difference in barking and snarling, right? You know, he's snarling. I mean, the foam is in his mouth. He's rabid. Guy my size makes a good meal. So he says, you know, I'd like to get my chaws on that. So I'm glad that chain link fence is there. I ignore him, and I go into the garage, and lo and behold, to my amazement, next thing I know, a little swinging door. The guy's got a counter there that separates the customer from his inventory, and there's a little swinging door back there behind the counter, and poof, that dog comes in that room. I'm glad for that counter now. So I'm there doing the paperwork for this dog. The guy comes in, got a Hardee's sack, back when Hardee's was around. Got two cups of coffee and a Hardee's sack. That dog is over there. I'm filling out this paperwork, and all of a sudden, out of the peripheral vision, I see this man's hand go in the sack, and I see this white thing fly through the air, and the dog catches it in his mouth and spits it out. And I'm filling out the paperwork, and I think, what did I just see? And I look on the floor, and it's a creamer, like you'd pour in your coffee. I didn't say anything, so I just kept working. Pursued out of my peripheral again, he reaches in that bag, he grabs another, a creamer, a half and half. Throws it in the air, that dog catches it in his mouth, spits out the empty thing. I looked at him. I said, is that cream? He said, he loves it. He loves it. He loves it. I guess he flips three or four more creamers to that dog. If I ever go back, I'll take a bag full of creamers. I know that. I'll make a friend there. I'm no dummy. You know what she said? She said, Lord, hey, you don't give it. If I'm a dog, you don't give a dog a slice of bread. I'm a dog. You don't give a dog a loaf. But you know what dogs get? The master comes along after and just sweeps the crumb off the floor. Whew. That's all I need. Just a crumb. Do you think she's sincere now? You think this woman is legit, that she really is looking for some help? She really wants this burden to be relieved. She wants her daughter helped. And I want to say to you, friend, I believe she was right on the money. Not only was she sincere, but she was right about the crumbs that fall from the master's table. A crumb from the master is enough to meet the need in your heart. And I want to tell you something. The devil prepares a buffet with dozens of varieties in an attempt to get people to feast at his table. But I want to tell you something. His buffet never meets the need. It never satisfied. And people have to go back and back and back and back and back and back and back. And I did that for 18 years, feasting at the devil's buffet, and I never got satisfied. Never did. The alcoholic has to go back to his drink, and the doper has to go back to his marijuana and his cocaine, and the loose living person has to go back to the promiscuity. Back through the same line over and over and over and over again, feasting at the things that the devil and the world offer to meet needs, but they never satisfy. But old friend, if you ever receive just one crumb from Jesus' table, that crumb will meet all your needs. I'm talking about your heart needs. She was sincere, and I believe Jesus sifted to prove her sincerity. The woman searching, the Savior sifting. Now look at the situation settled in verse number 28. After she said that to him, Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Now watch this. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So that means when she got home and her daughter was sitting on the couch in her right mind, completely composed, and that mother said, "When did this happen?" And somebody said, "About an hour ago." And it was the very time that Jesus said, "Your daughter's okay." I believe she probably worshipped a little bit more right then, don't you? I believe she got on her knees, maybe her face back in her bedroom by herself. And she wasn't in the presence of Jesus physically, but she worshipped Him. And I want to say this, friend, listen very carefully. Jesus will not ignore sincere faith. He cannot ignore sincere faith. Here was a woman with a legitimate need. She was sincere. And her faith in the work of Jesus Christ resulted in her situation being settled. I want to ask you a question. We're done. Do you have a situation this morning? You have a situation this morning? I'm talking about saved people. I'm talking about people who've already been born into God's family. Saved people have situations that are overwhelming. Can I encourage you this morning that the Savior is probably standing somewhere real close by? And if you'll look for Him, and you'll be sincere, you'll get the help you need. Does that mean that thousands of dollars are going to fall out of the sky? No, I'm not talking about that kind of help. I'm talking about right here, this help. This help is far more wonderful than dollars falling out of the sky. Because that's gone. This help stays around. For somebody else, your situation might be a little like this. You've not been much of a church person. You've not been much of a Bible person. You've not been much of a prayer person. But you got a broken heart. You got a need. And you came this morning because you thought maybe, just maybe, at church I could find something to help me. And I've taken the last 35 minutes and just tried to point and say, if you can just get one crumb from His table, you'll have this fixed. Your need might be salvation, like mine was 35 years ago. I got that crumb from Christ's table, and I've been satisfied ever since. Do you need a crumb? Do you need a crumb? Because if you need a crumb, He's got them, and they're enough to satisfy. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. I just ask two or three questions and then we'll get ready to finish up the service. So listen, if you would, just listen carefully. I know people have to move a little bit from putting their Bibles away, but just listen for a moment, okay? I wonder this morning if you have a broken heart. I wonder this morning if you have a need. I wonder this morning if you have a situation. It may not be your daughter like it was for this lady. It may be you. Maybe you came this morning in search of help. Jesus is close by. He wants to help you this morning. One who's here would say, "Pastor Angel, I have been saved. I know it. I've been born into God's family by trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. I have received the gift of salvation, and I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven." If you can say that this morning, would you raise your hand, please? Wherever you are sitting, would you please be honest about it? Thank you so much. You may take your hand down. I wonder if there's one here this morning who would say, or two or three, whoever, it doesn't matter. I wonder if somebody would say, "I could not raise my hand just then. I do not know that I have been saved. And the truth is, my heart has been heavy. I do have a need. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me." Would you lift your hand this morning? Just let me pray for you. Would you just slip it up and take it right back down wherever you're sitting? If you're not sure that you're saved, front to back, side to side, downstairs, the balcony, any person here, you're not sure that you're saved. You're not sure, but you know your heart's heavy. You're not sure that you're saved, but you know your heart's broken. You're not sure that you're saved, but you know that you'd sure like one of those crumbs if you could get one. Pastor Angel, pray for me. I won't call your name. Don't know you, maybe. Won't come to you. But I'd be glad to pray for you. Anybody like that today? Pray for me. God bless you. I see your hand. I see another hand. God bless you. God bless you. Appreciate that. Now listen, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. For you folks that just lifted your hand just now, you said, you know, I need something. My heart's heavy. My heart's broken. I have a need. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I said I would not call your name, and I don't know you. I said I would not come to you, and I won't. But if you're going to get help this morning, you're going to have to come to Christ. Here's how we do this. In just a moment, we're going to stand. Ladies are going to play some music on the instruments, and some people might come and pray, and you just leave your seat. That's what I did 35 years ago. I left my seat. I came to the front. You can't offend people who want to be helped. There are no hurdles too high. He has crumbs, and He can help. What you have to do is just step out and come to Christ. And you come right down this aisle, one of these aisles, you tell one of these men, I need to be saved, or I don't know that I'm saved. They'll have a woman or a man deal with you according to your gender. If you're a man, they'll have a man deal with you. If you have a woman, you're a woman, they'll have a woman deal with you. Show you from the Bible how to get a crumb, the crumb of salvation from Christ. Who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that in the room this morning? Saved but not baptized. God bless you. First step of obedience is to follow Christ in believer's baptism. We'd love to give you that opportunity this morning. All you got to do is come right down. We're happy to baptize you in obedience to Christ. Maybe come down and talk to one of these fellows about it. It's a first step of obedience. God will bless you for it. When the music starts, if you want to learn more about that, you come. I appreciate it. All right, Christian folks, saved people who say, okay, Pastor, I don't need salvation, but I have a situation. And I just need to learn a few things from this woman. I was reminded of some things this morning that would help me. I need a crumb, and I know where to get it. Would you raise your hand this morning if I like that in the room today? I appreciate that. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. My Heavenly Father, I don't know of a more tender story in all your Gospels than that story right there. It just so blesses my heart. I pray that you'll take it today and use it in the lives of these people. Lord, I know there are some folks that raise their hand. They're not saved. Now listen, Holy Spirit of God, please, would you please work on their heart. Help them to not have any hurdles, Lord, and to jump every one of them and come to Christ this morning. And help this one needs to get baptized. Lord, help these that raised a hand, said, I need a crumb. I know where to get it. And they want to try to get that crumb from your table. God, please, would you help us this morning? We, all of us, from time to time, need a crumb. Thank you that we can get it from you. Bless the invitation, I pray in Christ's name. I prayed for you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I prayed for you like I said I would. Now, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to come to Christ, you're going to have to come to Christ or come to be baptized or come to pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand, please. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the ladies are going to play. Now's the time. Would you please step out and come? That's right, that's right. Raise your hand. Would you come? Would you step out and come? It's all right. Just make the journey. Just make the journey. You step out and come. We'll meet you halfway. Would you come this morning? If you have a burden, if you have a need, would you come and be baptized this morning? Or at least talk about it. Would you come this morning? Would you do that? The greatest decision you'll ever make in life is come to Christ as your Savior. Would you come this morning? Would you come? That's right. God bless you. Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. God bless you. How about it? Would you come also? Would you come also? You come this morning. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Christ came close enough to that woman, but she had to come to that house where he was. Would you come this morning?